Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, we've been talking all about the torpedo bat on this show as the Major League Baseball season started. Obviously, Yankees having some success with it. And I have been interested because I saw an interview on NPR and the Scientific American and the Atlantic, among others, with a professor at Washington State. And I thought, this is in our backyard. Why not get Lloyd Smith, the director of Washington State University's Bat Lab, on the show? And so Professor Smith is joining us now. How you doing?
Good.
Give us an idea. Like, you know, when this baseball season starts and people start asking questions about this torpedo bat, your phone start ringing?
Yeah, it's really been a lot of fun. My life is measuring bat performance, and most of the time nobody cares or nobody knows I exist. So for people to have interest suddenly in how bats work and what their shape is and all the excitement around the torpedo bat, it's just been a lot of fun.
All right, so let's drill down on the science of this because, you know, you get players who say, you know, the feel of the bat is important to them, but what are we actually seeing with the torpedo bat scientifically?
Well, there's a number of things going on, and I think it can mean different things to different people. So first we have to realize that wood is a relatively heavy material when you're talking about sporting equipment. So most batters are doing all they can to have a bat that's big enough, but that's as light as they can possibly make it. And because of that, most bats only have a small region, the barrel, that is large in diameter, and typically that barrel is a little bit smaller than the maximum that's allowed, 2 5/8 in diameter. And that's the way life's been for over 50 years, and you know, you get a little bit of change in a profile, but that's really all there was. The bat diameter increased toward the barrel, and then it was constant, and then it was the end of the bat. So that's kind of the way life has been, and now we have this idea that the diameter can actually decrease after the sweet spot. Suddenly, just brings up all these new ideas, and that provides a way to lose weight if your diameter is getting smaller, your bat's getting lighter. So then you can increase the diameter in other places. So even if you leave the sweet spot alone with a torpedo bat, you can make the diameter of the sweet spot a little larger than it otherwise would have been and still have the same bat weight to swing. So that's one possible scenario. The other is, and this has also been talked about in the news, there are some batters that just don't hit on the sweet spot. And in this case, they were hitting inside of the sweet spot. So here the argument was, well, let's move all the mass inside and put that bulge where the batter is actually making contact. So you're designing the bat for the batter. Some people have talked about, is this illegal? And at first I laughed about it, but then I thought, wait a minute, this is not that different from corking a bat. Corking a bat, you're drilling out part of the barrel toward the end, and you're filling it with a lighter material. So you're doing a very similar thing, but you're just hiding it on the inside. So it's interesting that there's nothing illegal about a torpedo bat, but many features of a corked bat are similar to a torpedo bat.
We're really just talking about bat speed, aren't we? I mean, if you're corking the bat, we're just talking about making the bat lighter so you could increase your swing speed. And with a torpedo bat, it's tapered at the end, and that has an effect on swing speed, right?
Right, yes. And I'll call swing speed a fickle friend.
Okay.
So we know that swing speed is super important in baseball when you're trying to get your bat on the ball, number one, and number two, when you're trying to hit the ball far. Swing speed is super important. And so people will do different things to increase swing speed. And one of the things they'll do is they'll lower bat weight. Okay, a lighter bat is going to swing faster. The problem is that when you get increased swing speed from a lower bat weight, that actually results in a lower batted ball speed, not a higher batted ball speed. So the only way for swing speed to increase your batted ball speed is if increased swing speed comes from increased strength. If you're getting there by swinging a lighter object, then it's actually not going to help you. So some people have thought that the torpedo bat was this amazing device that was causing all of these home runs because it hit the ball so much better. And that's not true. It could be that the batters, and it's likely that the batters were able to make better contact with the ball to control it more accurately. But for two bats that have the same contact geometry, a lighter weight torpedo bat is going to hit the ball less far than a heavier standard bat.
We get caught up on the weight of the bat, but I think what you're really saying in layman's terms is that the mass of the bat matters as well, right? I mean, these two things work hand in hand.
It kind of is. I thought I was already explaining it.
Yeah. No, dumb it down for me. Got to go farther.
Yeah. So take it to an extreme.
Yeah.
If this worked, if only swing speed was important.
Yeah.
Then what they ought to be swinging is feathers. Mm-hmm. You'd go out there with the feather and swing and hit the ball. And we know that can't work, right? The ball is just going to go right through it. So it turns out it's the way the muscles work. And that's not something we can predict. We've done actually lots of field studies. In my work, swing speed is super important, and the effect of bat weight on swing speed is also super important.
Okay.
So we studied that a lot. And it turns out, not just for baseball, but for tennis, for golf, really any time you're swinging an object, the way your muscles work, that if you lower the weight, your muscles are not able to increase speed enough to overcome the reduction from inertia you have with the reduced weight.
Okay. All right. We're talking to Professor Lloyd Smith, Washington State's famous bat lab. We're talking about the torpedo bat. From golfer to golfer, you will see different equipment perform differently. And we always say, well, you know, this guy's a great golfer. Of course, you put the great equipment in his hand. But you're fitted for golf clubs. You have seen baseball players historically choose bats that they like in their hands. Mickey Mantle, Louisville Slugger, designed the M110 for Mickey Mantle. Al Kaline had the K55, had a thicker handle. I grew up in a baseball family, forgive me. But so give me an idea, how important is the fit, the actual fit for the person swinging the bat? You know, all things being equal with length of the bat, you know, is it just a comfort thing or is there some science there?
Well, there is a feel of what you're comfortable with. And what makes you comfortable with something? Well, part of that is going to be your own physiology. Part of it's going to be what you grew up with. So today's batters all are much more comfortable with skinny handle bats than they were 30, 40 years ago. And that's because they grew up with metal bats that had really skinny handles. So you've got both of these factors that are going to come in and affect what you find is most comfortable or best. But inertia, let me nerd out here a little bit. We're talking about bat weight. That's not really what we're concerned about. We're concerned about the bat inertia, or we actually call it the bat mass moment of inertia. And in the golf world, they call it swing weight. So you can have two bats that weigh the same, two 30-ounce bats weigh the same, even look the same. But if their weight is distributed differently, then they're going to have different swing weights. And that's the parameter that we're concerned about. And when you are a highly trained athlete, very small changes in that swing weight have a very big effect. I'm told that batters can tell the difference in a fraction of an ounce in weight of their bat just because they're so familiar with it. So these guys have been training for a very long time and are very familiar with how they want the bat to work. And certainly if they were to get a heavier bat, they could likely adapt to that. But they've got their own comfort zone for their style. And some are trying to get a base hit. Others are trying to swing for the fences. And depending on your strategy, your own abilities, you'll have different preferences for the type of play you want to have. And that can also steer what kind of bat you want to use.
Several years ago, I had the fortune of being at the Louisville Slugger plant. I got to see the bats made, and they talked about the differences in the quality of the wood and the grain of the wood. That stuff becomes very important. And they even talked about Major League Baseball players who will send back an order of bats because they don't like the quality of wood. Are there variations that you see in the quality of, like, wood and bats?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and Major League Baseball recognized that when the maple bats came out, and that had to do primarily with grain straightness. So if your grain is not parallel with the length of the bat, then its durability is significantly compromised. So that's one factor. But what is the natural material? Some people like really tight grains, some people like really fat grains, but the amount of grain you have in your bat, the density of the wood affects its stiffness and its strength, and both of those relate to the performance of the bat. So for sure, there is variation in different batches of wood from one species and then species to species.
There are minor league players that I know who swear that they could take another bat or another hard material and essentially rub it the length of the bat and make the wood harder. They also had kind of played around in batting practice, and they had, they taped the end of the bat, but before they tape it, they hammer in a few nails to the bat, and they swear that they can harden the wood. Is there science in that, or is that in their heads?
No, there's truth to that. In fact, that's done routinely in cricket, which is a game similar to baseball, and they have a bat that looks different from a baseball, but it's still wood. And they do a process called knocking, where they will get a wooden hammer, and before they use the bat, they'll knock the bat to compress the fibers. And by compressing the fibers on the hitting surface, they're strengthening those fibers. They're making them more dense, which makes them stronger. Now, I don't think you can make an argument that by making the bat surface harder, that it's going to change its performance. It's still a wood bat. The performance of a bat has a lot to do with how much the ball deforms. That's where you get the trampoline effect with hollow bats. They're actually a little softer than metal, and so they are kinder to the ball and return more energy to the ball. But with a wood bat, it's all solid wood, so the ball deformation is really not different from one wood species to another. And so the performance or energy transfers is not that much different.
Do you think Major League Baseball does something about the torpedo bat, or is the sample size too small, or maybe the Yankees are just really good at hitting home runs? What's your take?
Yeah, I think we'll find that what happened with the Yankees and the Brewers was an anomaly, and that we're not going to see that happen the rest of the season. If it did, if this was some weird workaround that nobody guessed or anticipated, I'll feel really bad because I've been doing this for 30 years, and I think I would know if it was going to happen. But if it did, they would likely step in. But I can't speak for MLB, but I would be surprised if they would change their rules. These rules have been here this way for a long time, and this is not all that new, and it's not that unique to baseball. They weight tennis rackets for a similar reason. I just talked about cricket. The backside of the cricket bat is curved, and that bulge and that weight will move around to tape to the bat for their athletes. So this is fairly new to baseball. I understand it's been tinkered around with for about 3 years, but it's not necessarily all that new to sport.
I'm really curious what the lab looks like at Washington State. Do you make bats in there? Do you have a lathe in there? Are you looking at aluminum? Are you looking at wood? What is it like?
You should come and do a tour. So we are not in the business of making bats. We are in the business of testing bats. We work almost exclusively with amateur softball and baseball. And our job here, the federations have identified how much bat performance they want to have in play. And we have very specific and detailed standards where we test the bat to see if it meets those requirements. So manufacturers will bring us a prototype, we'll test the bat, we'll tell them if it complies. If it does, then they get a certificate and they're allowed to then produce the bat for that federation.
Youth baseball, youth sports, equipment matters. What kind of variations do you see in equipment when it comes to softball, baseball, and kind of what you're seeing in the youth sports marketplace as it pertains to bats and equipment?
Oh, that's a good question. And let's see if I can give you a good number for that. So in the softball world, our measure is actually exit speed. And wood bats are about 10 miles an hour slower than metal bats in softball. And if you were to compare metal bats on the market, they vary probably less than 5 miles an hour. If a manufacturer is making a bat that's 5 miles below the limit, that's not a very good bat for them. They tend to be closer to the limit than that. So that would suggest that maybe your fairly good bats in softball will all be similar to each other within about 3 miles an hour.
Do you get friends who will bring you a bat or bring you their kids' equipment and say, hey, can you test my kids' equipment and make sure that they're using the best possible bat to use a good bat?
Yes. I get requests. I also get people calling me up and saying, hey, what bat should I buy for my kid? And my answer is always the same. You cannot afford us to test your bat. Our test is fairly expensive.
Okay.
And number two, if you really want to help your kid, then you should send your kid to batting practice. What we find is that the variation among batters on a team is much, much, much larger than the variation in the bats they have in the bag. So if you really want to hit the ball well, you can get a little bit by spending extra money on a bat, but by far the biggest advantage you'll have is by working out and training.
I just think if you put a snow shovel in Barry Bonds' hands, he would have been in the Hall of Fame anyway. You know what I mean? It wouldn't have mattered.
But. Yeah, I was playing softball when I was a kid, and they were trying to walk this guy that was always hitting home runs, and they were throwing balls way high, and he just still held the bat up vertically and smacked it and still got over the fence. So, yeah, there are some people that no matter what you do, they're going to smack the ball.
Professor Lloyd Smith, I appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Happy to talk to you.
And there he goes, the good professor, Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred. You're welcome. You don't have to do the research. Washington State has done it for you. Leave it here. You've got the bald-faced truth statewide.